announcing the What is RevOps Handbook, the only guide you will need to learn how to accelerate your sales cycle, improve win rates, and create a predictable revenue model. Learn how to establish a revenue operations team, grow a revenue machine, and how to measure success, all within the What is RevOps Handbook. Head to evster.com/what-is-revops or click the link in the description below to grab your copy today. This is Sales Ops Demystified, the number one most downloaded podcast in sales operations. We invite the brightest minds in sales ops onto the show to deconstruct the what, why, and how behind rep productivity, forecasting, metrics, and all things revenue. This podcast is brought to you by Evster, a revenue intelligence platform used to identify risk in the pipeline and score customer engagement, and is sponsored by the Global Sales Operations Association and the UK Revenue Operations Network. Hello and welcome to another very special episode of the Sales Ops Demystified podcast. Today, we're joined by I was going to say Silicon Valley legend because of your work history. And then I double checked by going through your LinkedIn profile before to check if you were actually in Silicon Valley, because you have these massive company names on your profile. eBay, etc., yep. Yahoo. But I wasn't sure if you were in Silicon Valley at that time. Were you?
I was in Silicon Valley, not at the time of eBay. That was when I was first out of college and had no idea what was going on in the world. But I spent time at Yahoo and at McKesson, which is a big pharmaceutical distribution company in San Francisco in the Bay Area. And I lived down in Los Gatos area.
Got it. So I just completely derailed my intro. But the reason I say that, I can actually say in the intro now that Rob is a Silicon Valley legend. So we do have these kinds of names on Rob's profile, but actually more recently, and perhaps more relevant here, is Sales Ops Director Qualtrics, which I'm aware went through insane growth, I think, when you were there, Rob. And then now today, VP of Sales Ops and GTM Strategy at Zant. So Rob, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Excited to be on here.
So first of all, I want to, I'm always really interested in how people come into sales ops, because I know that you had, I think back either at Yahoo or eBay, it was product management. And then there was a switch at one point where you, and I think it was either McKesson or Qualtrics, where you moved into sales ops. The question I have is why?
Sure. Yeah, I actually did start out, even more humble than that, I actually started out in customer support, and then at eBay, because eBay was so fast growing, it afforded me the opportunity to jump into more of a product type of a role, still helping out our customers, still helping out the customer success teams, but building out tools and the processes that were needed for that side of the organization. Then I went to graduate school and did consulting for a little while at a strategy and management firm called Archstone. And then that's how I actually got into McKesson, which is where my first actual taste of sales operations began. It was very different because, in a big pharmaceutical company, you have deal sizes that are insane. You have, selling cycles that are years long, and you have, margins that are just tiny, oddly enough. And so sales operations there was largely centered around a transformation project that we did to help sales become more organized, become more focused, and more special projects to help them target better in a very capped and succinct market. But that was my first taste of kind of an operations and sales operations experience. And what I loved was being on the revenue side. Instead of being on a cost center that really was critical but not bringing in revenue, revenue is where it's at. It's so fun and it's demanding and it's exciting, and you live and die. And the next day, you hit your number one quarter, the next day it doesn't matter. You start over. And so just that continuous, the clock starts again, and you're always just, you can never let your guard down. And I love that. So really cut my teeth under a great VP of sales operations named Eric Davis at McKesson at the time. And then was probably a little cocky and thought that I could just easily translate that over into the SaaS world. Austin Bankhead, I think he has been on your podcast before, brought me into Qualtrics. When our sales ops team was just nascent and just starting up, I think we had four people, including Austin. And so we slogged together and kind of learned together what it means to do sales operations and bring kind of an operational rigor into a SaaS company that was in just hyper-growth mode. And Qualtrics was definitely in hyper-growth mode at that time. A lot of learning. I think I've listened to the podcast with Austin's, a bunch of mistakes that we made, but just so much learning that we did. And really from there, I was able to parlay that over into where I am now at Zant. And Zant, I don't know if you noticed, but Zant rebranded itself about a year and a half ago. We used to be InsideSales.com, which was one of the forerunners of, you know, modern selling and, you know, really getting into intelligence-based sales. So that's where we are now, and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I actually wasn't aware that InsideSales.com rebranded to Zant, but I think it makes sense. You guys, it's almost like inside sales is like the category slash sales type of sales now. And it was a bit confusing. I was confused at one time, but that makes total sense. And thanks for giving the overview of the journey. I want to take one thing out that I read on your LinkedIn profile as well, Rob, which was about your mention that sales are your customers. Could you elaborate a bit more about what you mean by that and why you think that is important, if it is? In sales ops?
It's absolutely critical. In fact, if there's one thing that I would love for your listeners to take away from this is that, you know, my mantra, what I've been trying to teach my teams that have been in sales operations for a long time now, Qualtrics and here, is that sales success is our success, right? You cannot be a successful revenue operations or sales operations team and pat yourself on the back if your sales teams aren't hitting their numbers, right? So our whole job, our whole reason for being is to help them be successful, right? And I love it. If a salesperson comes to me and says, Rob, I'm a president's club because you guys helped me with enablement and messaging and you helped me with targeting and I didn't have an idea of what to do for territory management and you guys helped me with that, makes my whole day. And for that reason, I love to actually have my team, when we can, be physically located right next to the sales teams.
Makes total sense. And it's almost like that's a testimonial you would get from a customer and you would put that on the wall inside the sales ops meeting office.
Right.
Really having a focus just as Amazon does on their customers. I totally agree. Now, next question. Looking at your work at McKesson and actually before that, your consulting work, it seems like it was like a fixed project where you were going in and improving something. Now, my question is, can we then split sales ops into two areas where you have these kind of discrete projects, improvement projects, versus the kind of BAU stuff? Like, how, like, is that line clear? And, like, can we split sales ops into those two areas? And then today at Zant, like, how do you delineate between those two types of work?
That's a great question. Absolutely. I think you can. In fact, I think you should. So, business as usual, just so you guys and maybe your listeners can understand how I think about it. You know, you have, if you think of like a regular sales, an annual calendar, right? You have certain things that have to happen in order for sales to be functioning like clockwork. You have to have territory and coverage design. You have to have comp planning. You have to have, you know, new hire onboarding and training. You have to have forecast calls. All these things are the things that are just table stakes for a good revenue operations team, right? In addition to that, you're going to have times where you have different challenges that you don't expect, like COVID-19, for example. COVID-19 comes along, absolutely obliterates your customer pipeline because nobody wants to spend any money at the moment. Everybody's changed their selling motion. And so you have these different challenges. And so obviously, I believe that second layer of discipline, which is, you know, project management, that's where sales ops and rev ops can come into play in a great fashion. Sales ops people are naturally analytical, typically. a lot of times, what I like to do is I like to have people who are very familiar with sales. Ideally, would be great if they had carried a bag themselves or had a quota so they can understand, because you have to have that kind of empathy. And it's a rare thing to have an analytical person who's also empathetic with the plight of sales. So many people think that sales are just the people that come in and are the relationship managers, and then they have their sales engineer, and they have their proposal writing team, and they have their, you know, SDRs finding leads, and you know, what does sales actually do? And people have that mindset, and why are they getting all these big commissions when I'm working on a salary? It's not the case. In sales, it's feast or famine, and it's easy to go into a famine, very easy to go into a famine. So we work together. And I think one of the things we do at Vant is we use we use OKRs, objectives and key results, right? It's a kind of a Google takeaway. And what we do is we put it into a kind of a four-quarter roadmap for ourselves, if you will, of here are the targets that we're gunning towards. Here's the sales quotas. Here's our company revenue number. Here's our retention number. Here are renewals, all that kind of thing. And then we start looking at the leading indicators to say, are we going to hit this or not? You know, so many people in sales ops and analytics look at the lagging indicators like win-loss rates. You're too late. If you're looking at win-loss rates, you're too late, right? You look at leading indicators, and then you start building projects around, okay, what do we do with that? So it actually, the challenge is that it makes it pretty difficult when you have a small sales ops team and they have to function on their business as usual day jobs and projects to keep the ship upright.
Yeah, that's the best way, I think, to define what the improvement projects are, is to have the leading indicators and say, this project, we're going to spend 6 weeks on trying to improve number of emails sent per rep per day or something. And so I totally agree. That for sure is how people should define those projects. And then, yeah, I also agree that there's probably a resourcing discussion to have with leadership. If you are in a small sales ops team and all you can do is BAU and you don't feel like sales ops is really bringing the value that it can do, in which case you need to go to leadership and justify the fact that they should invest in more. And then part of that proposal, I suggest, is that you're going to be working on these performance improvement projects versus just BAU. Would you say that's...
That's true. It's easier said than done, Tom, because... You know, typically you want to have a lean and mean sales operations or revenue operations machine. You have, because people will look at it and say, why do you need a team of 10 people supporting 50 sales and CSM people, right? And they look at ratios. And I get it. As an analytical person, I get it. Those ratios are important, but they don't tell the whole story, because one of the biggest challenges is that the concept of revenue operations is new and evolving very quickly. It used to just be sales ops was rules of engagement, territories and coverage, and maybe a little bit of compensation design, right? Now you have things like sales enablement and training. You do have coverage. You have sales systems. You have analytics. You have deal desk. All of these things can and I think should be wrapped under a centralized revenue operations engagement or a function, right? But people don't understand that that requires more headcount. And so then you run into the problem of them saying you're too top heavy or you're too big. So it's kind of a delicate dance. You have to be careful with it. But overall, I think you do have to make the case that, you know, we're not just a bunch of spreadsheet jockeys here. We actually have a lot of legitimate insights, particularly when people have carried a number themselves. And then that can be done in partnership with the sales teams.
Because if they care the number themselves, then of course they should have a better understanding of the customer. Next question. What would you say is the number one most important thing you learned about sales ops when going through the hypergrowth environment at Qualtrics?
It has to be done in lockstep with sales leadership. Because if there's any kind of perception that sales ops doesn't understand or is disconnected from what sales is going through, what you'll have is what I call organ rejection. You'll throw out territories, and what you end up with is 6 months worth of sales leaders just fighting about why is this account over here? Why is this account over here? And you get into segmentation battles. If you can work together to build these things out in advance, you're ahead of the game. caveat or one corollary to that is that it actually takes a lot of advanced planning to be able to do that. You cannot just start a new year, a new fiscal year, and then say, okay, let's get our rules of engagement and our territories locked down. If you try to do that, you'll be 3 months into the year before you're finished, right? So what I tell my team is part of that business as usual is starting Q3. Q3 needs to be when you're doing a data quality refresh. You're refreshing all of your account firmographic data. You're refreshing your contacts in there. Your CRM data needs to be tight and updated. Q4 is then when you say, okay, now let's take a look at the changed value of territories based on our new account firmographic data. How do territories need to shift? Who's been successful, who hasn't? Where is a new team going to be put into place? And you start, you know, modeling out territories with the sales leaders so that when you have your SKO, your sales kickoff on day one of the new year, you're ready to go. Here's your territory. Here's your number. Here's the valuation of your accounts. So just quit your bitching and let's get to it. Right.
And so did you learn that the hard way at Qualtrics? Not pointing any fingers anywhere, of course.
We learned it the hard way. And I hope, forgive the language, but we got our asses kicked a few times at Qualtrics. So, and it was good because, like I said, we were learning at the same time and the sales teams hadn't, you know, it was the wild, wild west over there. So they were used to just whoever got their name on the account first, whoever called, you know, looked them up in the yellow pages first, got the account, right? And so it was chaos, pure chaos. And they were successful at it. They are very good salespeople over at Qualtrics. But just bringing that level of organization and rigor, it was a process. And so without strong sales leadership who were, you know, seeing what we did, working with us, and then messaging it to the teams with accountability, I think, you know, would still be unsuccessful over there if that hadn't happened. So try to, I try to do that. And sometimes I succeed and sometimes I fail with having a strong relationship with sales leaders, but I do try.
Yeah. So my next question was, do you then have a regular lunch in the calendar with the CRO or with the head of sales at Sant?
Well, yes. I talked to the CRO. His name is Peter Black. He's amazing. I talked to him probably, if not every day, probably every other day at least. It helps that I report into him.
Okay.
But at the same time, even if we didn't, we have a really strong working relationship. You talked about initiatives. You know, we've put together this whole list of initiatives that we can do to help us out, help out the company. And then we go through and we make sure that they're always updated and as well as all of the standard sales ops things.
Sure. Final question before we move into the final stage of the interview. Looking into 2021, are there any tips you would give sales ops / RevOps people listening about forecasting for 2021? Bearing in mind the last 9 months and what that might have done to people's numbers.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Forecasting is something I strongly believe in, by the way. It is an art and a science. And I think too many people rely on just kind of guessing a little bit. But to me, it all starts with understanding your sales RVPs need to be having a regular pipeline discussions with their sales reps. In addition to just, you know, having a standard sales progression through sales stages in Salesforce, you know, they need to have the ability to put their own manager judgment on things. There's their own judgment on an opportunity. And then their RVPs, the sales leaders, need to be able to say, after they listen to that, they need to be able to put their own manager judgment and put their own commit number. So if they say, you know what, I'm going to be over my skis and be aggressive on this opportunity, you're calling it best case, I'm going to call it commit, let's get it. And then the trick is regular forecasts where they're calling their number and you're holding them to it. And then what I like to do is I try to have so at the beginning of the quarter, the goal is to be, you know, forecast within 30% plus or minus of where you're actually going to end up. And then 2 months into the quarter with a month to go, snap the line, lock the forecast down, and they really should be within 10% of that by the time the quarter's done. Puts the onus on them to be accountable and to really know their territories and to know their accounts. And good sales leaders do. We have great sales leaders here at Zant, and they know their opportunities. And if they tell you that this is their commit, one person in particular is great at this. He says, this is my commit, and I really don't think it's going to change. And A lot of times it doesn't. He, at the end of the quarter, he stands by his commit, and you know, he's usually pretty close to it. So I think to answer your question more directly, I think what it takes is regular pipeline review, strong sales leadership review of opportunities in pipeline, and then just having that regular forecast where people come to the table with an accountability level for calling their number.
Awesome. That was quite a straightforward and simple look at the forecasting process, which I think the audience are going to appreciate. Now, final question, and possibly the most important in the whole interview, is which person in the world of sales/RevOps would you most like to take for lunch?
That's a great question. And so because I, by the way, I think I need to take you need to redefine your term legend when you start introducing me as a Silicon Valley legend. That's, that's way off. I've learned a ton from a lot of real legends, starting out with actual, sales methodology leaders like Brent Adamson and the Challenger sale, right? So I've had the chance to meet Matt Dixon. He came to and did a sales kickoff with us at Qualtrics, and it was amazing just to hear him talk. So that's fantastic to hear how they think about sales process and how they think about the buyer's journey, and sales needs to understand the buyer's journey. Probably one of the more influential people, two people. One is Steve Silver. He is a VP of research research at Forrester. And he actually really gave me a lot of great insight into what normal business as usual sales operations looks like. Because like I said, at Qualtrics, we kind of built our own through trial and error. So actually having somebody come in and say, well, this is what normal looks like in the industry, was really quite helpful. So I'd love to sit down with Steve a lot longer and take him to lunch. The other person is Rafe Vandenberg. Rafe is the managing director or the founder of a little website called Selling Brew. And it is all about sales operations, and they have a ton of great insight into there. He doesn't know I exist, but I know he exists. So I would love to take him to lunch and just pick his brain about a lot of things.
Amazing, Rob. Thank you so much for that. I mean, it's very dense. I think we got a lot of information in just over 20 minutes there. It's really good to... I always love bringing on people that have been recommended or know other people that we've had on. And Austin, as you mentioned, was also really good. So it was great to have you on, Rob. Thank you so much for coming and sharing all your wisdom. I think we're going to be titling this episode, and we'll finish with this, Building a Lean, Mean Sales Operations Machine. And that's a direct quote from you from this episode. So Rob, thank you so much.
It was my pleasure. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sales Ops Demystified podcast. If you are listening on a podcast listening application, then please subscribe, rate, and review. And if you have any questions about the show, if you know a guest, or if you have any questions about sales operations, just hit me up at tomhunt@ebster.com. That's tomhunt@ebster.com.